Please grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 17, if you haven't already. And there is in the bulletin an outline that will go along with the message as well. VBS is always such a special week. I can remember going as a child myself to Vacation Bible School. I remember there's a lot of fun, a lot of games. Actually memorized scripture myself. I won the prize for memorizing Psalm 23 in its entirety and got a big chocolate bunny, I think it was, or something like that. Yeah, and I ate on that thing for the next several weeks. But it's wonderful to get the Word into your heart as a young age so that you and I can begin to know the one true God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. All week, all the young people, kids here at VBS, and the workers too, adults, have been learning that there is only one true God. And the Word teaches us about the one true God. And so let's read what Jesus has to say about this in John chapter 17. I invite you to stand as we read verses 1 through 18 together. In unison together. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. True God has revealed himself to us. Many people on earth today do not know the one true God. In fact, don't even know much about him. If you were to ask the average person on the street today, what do you know about God, you would get a myriad of answers. Some people would look at you with a blank stare. Some people, if they've been raised in church and have had some kind of teaching from the Bible, might give you some Bible answers. But the beautiful thing that we can know is that the one true God has revealed himself to us, and he's revealed himself to us first through his people, the Jewish people. If you remember, God created the world, then he chose a people for himself. Through Abram at the time, through Abraham and his descendants, his children, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob later is renamed Israel. He revealed himself to them as the one true God. He revealed himself as Elohim in the Hebrew. The word Elohim is a very interesting word. It means God, but it is a plural word. Any Hebrew word that ends with the I-M ending, Elohim, is a plural word. And so in the very beginning, God is revealing himself in a plural way as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so God first reveals himself to his people, the Jewish people, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants become the 12 tribes of Israel. And then God reveals himself as Yahweh to Moses. The word Yahweh means the I Am. From Exodus 3:14, and those of you who memorized that scripture this week, say it with me, I am who I am. The Lord revealed Himself, and the word in the Hebrew is best pronounced as Yahweh. And it means, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. What does that mean? It means He is the self-existent one. He is the infinite one. He is the one who defines reality. And so He reveals Himself to Moses as Yahweh. Then God revealed Himself to us, to His people, as through the prophets. The prophets were the ones that spoke for God. The word prophet in the Hebrew means to speak for. And so prophets were servants of the Lord that spoke for God. And in Isaiah 45:5, and we sang this, it was sung in the song earlier, but again, those of you who memorized the scripture from VBS this week, Isaiah 45:5, he says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. So God revealed Himself to His people. He revealed Himself as Elohim, the one true God, yet there's a hint there of His nature and His existence. Then He reveals Himself as Yahweh to Moses. Then He reveals Himself through the prophets, and He says, I am the Lord, there is no other. There is no other God beside me. And then finally, God reveals Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 16, again a memory verse that was learned this week, from the words, the lips of Jesus, it says, For God so loved the world, say with me those who learned at VBS, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God revealed Himself finally as a final revelation through His Son, Jesus Christ. All of this is recorded for us in the Bible so that we can read it. We have the privilege of actually taking the record, the account of God revealing Himself to His people through the prophets, to Moses, and finally through Jesus Christ, and then the teaching of the apostles. We have it recorded here. But you know, the sad thing is, very few people read the Bible. Very few people read the Bible these days. It's unfortunate. But not only are we to read it, and we are to understand who the one true God is, but, we are also to know the one true God. We are to not only understand who He is, but we are to know who He is. In other words, to have a relationship with Him, to know Him as our God. And so the main point of this passage here that Jesus is teaching us on is this, that God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth so that we could know Him, the one and only true God, and then through Christ, we know Him and then have eternal life. That's the main point that Jesus is trying to teach us, that we know Him, that we know the one true God, and through Christ, we have eternal life. You see, by knowing Him, that's how you have eternal life. Do you know Him? Do you know Him today? As you're here in church, do you know this one true God? As Ashley said, he said to some of the kids as they came in, they said, you know, in order to have eternal life, in order to go to heaven and be with God, you know, it doesn't happen by coming to VBS. And all the kids are like, oh, really? Now, VBS is a place where you can come and learn about God and learn how to know Him. But in and of itself, we don't get to heaven just by coming to VBS. No more than just coming to church will get you to heaven. Right? You see, just because you go to McDonald's, it doesn't make you a hamburger, does it? Just because you come to church, that doesn't make you a Christian. The only way that you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, is to know the one true God through Jesus Christ and receive that gift of eternal life. Let me bring up another scripture from the prophets. God talks about himself again in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 through 11. And Candy Busey will read that for us.
No,
not on.
You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior.
I don't know how much clearer you can get than that. The prophet Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus Christ is born, declares these words. Before me there is no God formed, nor there will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. There is no Savior except the one true God. And so the prophets speak of this, that the one true God is not the same God as other false religions. You have to understand that as a Christian. Oh, I thought that Christians were inclusive. I thought Christians loved everybody. We do. We do love everybody. And it is not our place to judge anyone. There is one judge who will make a judgment. But his word declares to us that the one true God is not the God of other religions. Allah is not the same God as Yahweh, the one true God of the Bible. Do you understand that? Allah is not the same God. Islam proclaims this. Allah is God and his prophet is Muhammad. They believe that Muhammad, and of course it was his declaration, that Muhammad was the better and final revelation from God. In other words, Muhammad was the better revelation than Jesus Christ. And so, you know, Muhammad, who basically took a conglomeration of Judaism, of Christianity, and of tribal religions, and you put them all together, and you come up with the religion known as Islam. And Allah is not the God of the Old Testament. Allah is a very vengeful and wrathful God. Our God is holy, and our God indeed has wrath, but minus the grace. We're told in John chapter 1, I believe it's in verse 7, it says, the law was brought through Moses, but grace and peace came through the Lord Jesus Christ. The law, God's requirements, God's commands that show us that we are sinful, that we have broken his commands, that has been shown through Moses in the law. You understand that's what the law was for. The law was to show us how we fall short. And it would cause us to cry out for mercy to God. But grace and peace was brought through the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace meaning we receive what we don't deserve. Grace means we don't receive what we do deserve. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that you and I do not receive what we deserve? You and I deserve hell and separation from God. God declares through the prophet Ezekiel, he says, your sins have separated you from your God. And the soul that sins, it shall die. But the promise that Jesus brought to us said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever would believe in him should not perish, should not die, but have eternal life. And so Allah is not the same God as the one true God of the Bible. He is not the same God as the God of Mormonism, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You know, when you get that knock on the door, and sometimes it's like Saturday morning, and you're trying to do your chores, or you're trying to have some breakfast, late breakfast, and the door knocks, and there's these, you know, two fellas that are dressed nice with a suit and tie, and they have on their Church of Jesus Christ or Elder so-and-so, and they want to talk to you. They say, oh, we're from the Church of Jesus Christ. But what they don't tell you is it's of the Latter-day Saints. That's an entirely different thing than the one true Church of Jesus Christ. You have to understand that. We have to be informed and understand these things. They follow the teachings of Joseph Smith, and they have a separate book. It's called the Book of Mormon. And they claim, their founder claims, that the angel Moroni gave him golden tablets. And on these golden tablets was written in a foreign, a strange language that he didn't understand, and he was given the ability to write this, and that is where the Book of Mormon, I'm giving you a thumbnail sketch. And you start reading the Book of Mormon, and you will find out that there's some really strange stuff in there. I'll give you just a couple examples. God was once a man. And this man became God. He became Yahweh. He was once a man, but he reached godhood. And then Jesus is actually Satan, Lucifer's brother. You start reading this stuff, and it's bizarre, it's crazy, and you compare it to the scriptures, and you find out it's a fake. It's a counterfeit. Just as we learned this week in the Spy Academy, that there are clues, and there are fakes, and there are counterfeits. Neither is the God of the Jehovah's Witnesses the God of the Old Testament. They call themselves Jehovah, Jehovah's Witnesses, and you know, from the get-go, that's wrong, because the best pronunciation of the word Yahweh, the tetragrammaton, the four letters that make up that word, is not Jehovah, it is Yahweh. Jehovah is a German pronunciation. The Y in German has a J sound. Ja? You get it? You can say Ja. Just having a little fun. If they deny the one true God, no matter what religion it is, whether it's the Baha'i faith, whether it's the Hindu faith, whether it's Buddhism, whatever the religion may be, if they deny the one true God of the Bible, if they deny His Son, Jesus Christ, and they deny God, the Holy Spirit, then they are false. They are a counterfeit. We also, as we read from the very beginning, the book of Genesis, it says, Genesis 1, 1 through 2, it says, God created, Elohim, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was unformed and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. From the very beginning, we see that God's Spirit is intimately involved with creation. Later, we find out that Jesus Christ is the agent of creation. Through Him and by Him, all things are created. But we see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And any religion that denies that is false. God was involved. The Spirit of God was involved. The Son was involved from the very beginning. Well, Jesus says these words in chapter 17. He says these words in verse 5. Watch and look with me. Verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. What are we to understand from that? We are to understand that the Son, God the Son, not the human person Jesus, but God the Son was with the Father before the world began. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Son is also called the Word, right? God the Son is called the Word. The Word was the spoken forth command of God. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God at the beginning. Just as a little side note, if you go and look at a Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, by the way, they have their own. For those of you who don't know that, Jehovah's Witnesses have their own translation. It's a translation made from their founder, Charles Russell Taft, and he was a failed seminary student. He failed Greek, and he dropped out of seminary, and then he goes and translates the Bible from Greek and Hebrew into English. Yeah, I don't think I want that translation. And what that translation says is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They insert that in there. See, because they define Jesus as a created being, that Jesus is not God. Jesus was created secondarily to God. So you and I have to be aware of these things. To know the one true God, we must know Him through His Word. And we know Him through Jesus Christ. Let's continue to break it down in the few minutes that we have. Number one, Jesus Christ brought glory to the Father by revealing the Father to us and then providing a way for us to know Him. Jesus says in verse 6, I have revealed you to those who you gave me out of the world. I have revealed you. This is an interesting word. When we think about God, we know that God is not a human, right? God is not a human person like we are. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 4, God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it's clear that, you know, God being spirit, we can't relate to him physically. I know many people have said, man, I'd love to see God. I'd love to, you know what he's like. Well, guess what? You can know what he's like because his son, Jesus Christ, says, I have revealed you, Father, to those you gave me. And you understand that's not just for those disciples, that's for you and me. God has revealed himself through Jesus. Jesus said, I've revealed you, Father, to your people. I want you to think for a moment. God had revealed himself to Moses, to the patriarchs, and he had revealed himself as, I am the one true God, I am holy, you must worship me, and you must what? My commands. You must what? Obey them. In fact, he says, obey them fully. And I will be your God. You will be my people. Even this morning in Sunday school class, we were reading an account of a couple of guys, Nadab and Abihu. And guess what? They decided they were going to worship God the way they wanted to instead of the way God told them to. Now, they had a few drinks. Imagine that. And I'm not talking about water. They'd had a few. And they decide that they are going to approach God and they're going to burn incense in the censer in the way they want to do it, not the way God prescribed. And you know what? It says, fire from the Lord came out and consumed them. That is terrible. That's horrible. Yeah, it is. But you know what? Listen to me. You still with me? Say amen. Listen to me. You don't approach God on your terms. You don't approach God on your terms. You don't approach God however you feel like it. You don't approach God in what you think is the best way to do it. You approach God the way he has laid out in his word. And he has said, you come to me in the new covenant, you come to me through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father, except through me, the Son. No one comes to the Father except through me. I've heard Christians say this. Well, you know, we all worship the same God, and you know, they're sincere people with other religions, or maybe they don't quite believe, or you know, well, they're sincere. They may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. It's kind of like being pregnant. You're not just a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. And you're either a Christian or you're not. Either you have come to know the one true God through Jesus Christ or you've not. Now, you can be a seeker. And you can say, I'm not sure about this Jesus thing. I'm just not sure about this Jesus thing. And I understand that and I respect that. And I want all of us as a church to respect that as well. We should have a respectful attitude towards those that may not yet believe or hold different views to us. Okay, I believe in live and let live. That does not mean, though, that we change the truth or we compromise the truth. Amen? That's not the meaning. Live and let live does not mean that I compromise the truth. Neither does it mean that, hey, just because you say you don't like my truth, I'm not free to speak my truth. It's interesting that Christians are the only ones, you know, that there's freedom for everybody except for Christians. They can't speak the truth. Well, Jesus brought glory to the Father by revealing. They knew God as holy, as just. Jesus reveals him as Father and as love. Not that it wasn't there before, but there actually are concepts throughout the Old Testament of how God brought his people. And there's actually some feminine aspects where God gathers the people, it says, as a hen gathers her chicks. As an eagle gathers her young, so the Lord gathers his people. So there are actually feminine aspects to that, but the full revelation of God as Father comes through Jesus Christ. And we are to know God as our Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that for a moment. God as our Father. The one true God is our Father, our Heavenly Father. Now, I know some of you, you've had a very bad experience with your father. Some of you perhaps didn't even know your father. Some of you were abused by your father. Some of you had terrible fathers. But understand, our Father God is not like that. And I've heard people ask, well, you know, how could God let my earthly father or my earthly mother, my parents or others, how could God allow that to happen? How could God allow someone to be abused, sexually molested, all these kinds of things? Listen, God has given us free will. You can't blame God for what people do. You understand that? I'm saying this compassionately. But don't blame God for what people do, the sin that people do. God has given us free will. He's given us free moral agency that we can choose to do evil. We can choose to do sin. And when we do that, we hurt other people and we hurt ourselves. But God is not like that. God is a perfect Heavenly Father. God is a Father who loves us and watches over us. Listen, if He didn't love us, then He would not have sent His Son so that we could know Him. For God so loved the world of people, that He sent His one and only, His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so we can know God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. How do we know? What does that mean to know Him? Watch this. To know God means I understand Him and I perceive Him. I have knowledge of Him. I understand, I perceive, I have knowledge of Him. But it means I know in such a way that I act upon it. We've used the illustration of the chair, right? I think all of us could say that we believe this chair exists, right? I mean, here it is. This chair is right here. It exists. I'm holding it up. I'm making noise with it. It exists, right? And I think most of us would say, we believe that if I sat in that chair would hold me up. Does everybody agree with that? Everybody believe? Anybody not believe that if you sat in this chair, that it would hold you up? Anybody not believe that? Okay, we have all believers here in this chair. But there's one problem with that kind of belief. You see, it's just intellectual. You see, God requires that you believe in Him in this way. If I say I believe this chair can hold me up, then I must exercise my faith, my belief, and I must sit in this chair. And now I know it's holding me up. Do you see the point? God wants you to not only know Him, but He wants you to know Him in such a way that you act upon it, that you trust Him, that you put all of your faith in Him. You see, because it's kind of like a rope stretched across a chasm. And that represents faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And if you add anything to it, that rope becomes useless. You know, our efforts, our belief in and of ourselves, believing in ourselves or anything else except Jesus Christ, it's kind of like tying a thread to that rope across the chasm. There was a mountain climber. And he was just really, really good. In fact, he got to the point where he is so good that he began to mountain climb, he began to rappel without any safety ropes. I don't know about you, but I'm not only afraid of heights, but I'm afraid of falling. I really don't like heights at all. I'm more afraid of falling than I am the height. This guy, he's so good he didn't even use safety ropes anymore. And he is climbing up this chasm, this cliff, and he is finding these little finger holes, these little toe holes, and all of a sudden, he begins to lose his grip, and he falls. He is falling, he's sliding down, and he grabs hold of this scrawny little tree that's coming out of the side of the mountain, and he's hanging there. He's hanging, and he's looking around, there's nobody there, he's out there all by himself, there's nobody there. And so he cries out, "Is anybody out there?" And God speaks to him. He says, "Yes. Let go." All of a sudden, he's like having a panic attack. Let go. So he calls out, Is there anybody else up there? You get the point. With God, you got to let go. Faith in God through Jesus Christ is I got to let go of everything. I cannot trust in myself. I cannot trust in anything else except the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Son who came to reveal Himself to us. He revealed the Father and His love to us. His work, He tells us, verses 7 and 8. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Do you see it? They believed that God had sent Jesus. They believed His words were true. They obeyed His word. They acted on their faith. You and I must understand and perceive God and also act in a way that I act upon that faith and put it into practice. Number two, Jesus Christ has been granted authority to give us eternal life. Jesus Christ has been granted authority, meaning the right, the power, and the ability. I like to use the illustration of a traffic officer, traffic policeman. It doesn't even have to be a policeman. It can be one of the crossing guards. Actually, isn't it neat sometimes you see even some little school children that work with the crossing guards, and they're out there, you know, putting their little hands up and stopping traffic. But think about that with me for a minute. That child has been invested with authority. So when that child puts his hands up, what do? We stop, don't we? But the reality of it is, if we wanted to, we could run that child over. We wouldn't have to stop. That child does not have the strength, the power, to stop that vehicle, does that child? Couldn't actually stop that car. And so that authority is what we call invested authority. Jesus Christ not only has the invested authority, but as the Son of God, as God's Son, He has the power and the ability that we need. How do we know? Because He Himself was raised from the dead. As He died for our sins and He lay in that grave, God the Father raised Him from the dead, overcoming death, overcoming grave, overcoming the grave, overcoming the enemy of life. Next week, our family is going to gather and we are going to celebrate my mom's life in her passing. And you know, she had a beautiful life, almost 93 years. We were talking about this last week as I was up visiting with my sister and brother-in-law. You know, she had almost 92 years of, no problem life, you know, not in the sense of health concerns, other diseases. You know, that's a pretty good deal. Anybody who would sign up for 92 years of relatively healthy life? That's a pretty good, Brother Bruce, you wanted that. I think it was up to like age 90. There's only one medication that she started to take when she was 90. It was a heart blood pressure medication kind of a thing. 90 years. That's pretty good. But then, you know, sickness comes in and death comes in and spoils everything. And, you know, no matter how sick your mother is, any loved one really, no matter how bad off they are, when they die, when they pass, you're like, it's such a emptiness, such a horrible feeling. Any loved one, right? Death comes in and spoils. Death is the enemy of life. And Jesus wants you and I to know that He is the one who has overcome this enemy. He says, those who would believe in Me will not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, this physical body will decay. It will go in the ground and it will decay. But the true me is going immediately into the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Only He can give us eternal life. And watch this. When Jesus says, those that believe in Me will receive eternal life rather than perish, this is the word zoe. The word zoe means life. But here's what it means. Eternal life means perpetual life, unending life. And so, for those that know Christ, they are going to pass into His presence. It will be like a graduation. Jesus gives us true life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Some of the older translations said abundant life. Now, if you don't know what the word abundant means, it won't make any sense to you. And so the NIV translator says, have life to the full. I don't know about you, but I'm loving life. There are ups and downs, for sure. There are times of sadness and joy. But I'm loving life because I'm in relationship with my Father, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. I have you as my brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given me a beautiful family. And I'm blessed. Blessed beyond measure. And if you live in this country, even the poorest of the poor, you are blessed because you are richer than two-thirds of people in this world. We are blessed. And Jesus has come to give you life, eternal life, true life. You and I must receive it as a gift that He's given to us. It's life that is different. It doesn't mean that you hand God your laundry list or your bucket list and say, oh, I want all these things. No, it's not about that. You see, when you get to know God and He begins to work in your life by the Holy Spirit, He begins to change your heart. You see, the desires and interests that I had when I was 20 are very, very different than the desires and the interests that I have now. God begins to change your heart. He begins to change your mind, and you begin to desire those things which are going to be good for you, which are going to bring honor and glory to Him. Amen? We must believe in Jesus Christ, and we must obey His Word. We must put our faith in Him. And the outcome of it is this, and this is the final verse from Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And those of you who are at BBS and memorize this, say with me, the outcome is, we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. That's the outcome of our relationship. You see, you don't obey to get into relationship. No, because of relationship, you want to obey. You want to. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I can say with Paul, Lord, I know the things that I should do, and I don't do them. But praise God, I can also say with Paul that through Christ, He has overcome in my life. And so guess what? There are some things that I'm obeying. Amen? And I think you can say that too. There are some things that you are obeying. I'm not perfect at it, but Lord, I'm trying to love You with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And with the power of the Holy Spirit within me, I'm trying to love You, Lord. Lord, I screw up sometimes. I fail. I sin. But Lord, I'm trying to love You because not because I must, but because I want to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. One day, every knee will bow. Have you surrendered to Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in Him so that you know God through Christ, this one true God? Paula is going to read the final scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11.
Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Would you go back to verse 10 for me, Jim? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. Now, guess what we need to understand is that there's coming a time when Jesus Christ returns that every knee will bow before Him. The question is, have you surrendered and bowed the knee willingly before Christ? Have you come to a place where you know I am not God? I am His child, and I must put my faith in Christ. Have you come to that place where you have surrendered and put your faith in Christ? If you're here today, is that you? Have you come to a place where you've surrendered your life and said, yes, Lord, I want to believe in You and I want to obey Your word? We're going to give you an opportunity in just a moment. And then for you Christians that have already done that, Jesus said, and this was another memory verse, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what we are to be about. This is what we are to be about, Christians. Looking for every opportunity. As you know, I like to mess with cars. And down here at Bay Bridge Tire and Auto, they were closed for a little while, but then they reopened, and there's a new fellow working there. And one day I went in there to pay one of the invoices, and this fella had a book open, and it was a book from Carl Sagan on evolution and the origins of the universe. And me being the shy person that I am, I said, what you reading? And he showed me, and I said, are you taking classes? Or he said, no, I'm just reading this for enlightenment. I said, oh, okay, interesting. I didn't say any more at that point. Yesterday, I had ordered the book from Lee Strobel. It's called The Case for the Creator. You see, as I'm praying for this person, I don't have enough knowledge with all the scientific stuff to probably, he probably knows more than me, he could probably talk circles around me, but I know somebody that knows a whole lot more than me. And I know somebody that knows a whole lot more, Carl Sagan. He knows the truth. So I picked up that book, and yesterday I stopped by there, and he was there. And I went in and I said, you know, I saw you reading that book the other day, and you said you were searching for enlightenment. I said, I wonder if you would be interested in reading a book on the other side of it. He said, yeah, I would. And so I went and got the book, and I gave it to him, and he thanked me for that. Now, I stopped there. Okay? Sometimes you don't need to say too much more. Let people digest what you're saying to them. Sometimes we want to give it to them all in one. Bleh! And we throw up all over them. Stop that. Just, share some things and let God work. It's not you that's going to save the person anyway. You understand? It's God the Spirit that is working in their heart, drawing them. So Christians, we must be about what God has called us to do. It can be as simple as that, offering a book to somebody. Now, he knows that I'm a preacher. And I'm sure when I walked in the door, he probably cringed. He probably was thinking, oh, man, here comes that preacher. But, I try to treat people with respect and winsomeness because, you're never going to win a hearing by being rude and offensive. You will win a hearing by being respectful. Doesn't mean you don't stand for the truth. You don't have to compromise, and you can agree to disagree. So Christians, let's be about the business that Jesus has called us to. Amen? He's called us to make disciples. He's called us to share. He's called us to witness. Amen? Amen. Our time is gone. I'm going to ask every head bow. The Lord is working. Our hearts are before You, Lord. Father, I get the sense that there are some here that have not made that commitment to know You as the one true God, to know You through Jesus Christ, Your Son. If that is you today, I would like to pray for you. If you'd be so bold as to let me know that I can pray for you, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to know God. I want to know God through Jesus Christ. Is that you? Would you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Amen. And more importantly, God sees these hands. God sees your heart. But then He says, you must make a commitment. You must make this commitment. You must, by an act of your own volition, put your faith in Me. And so let's do that as a congregation. We'll pray a prayer. And those of you who raised your hand, if you will pray this out of sincerity, putting your faith in Christ and turning away from sin, then God will save you. Congregation, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and revealing yourself through your Son, Jesus. I put my faith in him. I believe in him. He is your Son. He died on the cross. He took my sins. He overcame death. Was raised from the dead. And now he is with you in heaven. And he will come again. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life. Put your Spirit in me. Cleanse me. Forgive me. And make me new. And I commit to follow you all of my days. In your name. Amen. Now listen, just a few months ago, we did something very similar to this, and there was one person that prayed that prayer, and I believe they were sincere. I believe that they made a commitment to follow God through Jesus Christ. But we have an enemy, and that enemy made sure that he came in and that this new believer got offended at somebody. I don't even know what it is. I don't know what happened exactly yet, but there will be an enemy who will come after you, and he will, you know what? He will allow you to get offended by something Pastor Tom said, or something Ashley, or any one of the other leaders, or maybe we fumble in our words and we say something I shouldn't, a faux pas, which I do often. Okay? Or maybe, because, like today, you go a few minutes over and you get offended because the preacher's so long-winded. Ain't coming back there. We have to be on guard. We have to watch over each other because there is an enemy and he will work. If he can't keep you from getting saved, he will keep you from being effective. He will find something to paralyze you, to come in and paralyze you. You know, he is an enemy who is working on humans for thousands of years. He is intelligent. That's why that great hymn writer, Martin Luther, says, "Our foe is great, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world." Amen? Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for the attention of your people, the attention to your word, Lord. I ask that you will allow your word to simmer in their hearts and bring forth fruit in their lives. I bless them, Lord. I bless them with the love of you, our Heavenly Father, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of our precious Holy Spirit. May it be with us all. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First time, folks.